Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Medi Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat a bit about the energy of the day as seen through astrology, human design, and today we're going to take a deeper look at the gene keys, number 61, and look deeper into what it means to have Pluto sitting there for the next 9 months. What is it that we are working with? Good morning to every one of you out there. I see Vicky. It's good to see you this morning. There's a couple of people I see in the background. I cannot tell who you are because your pictures have changed. Alex, it looks like, and Mimi, good morning. And Joanne, good morning to you as well. So it's really good to be with you this morning. Hopefully everybody had a good day yesterday and didn't succumb to the irritation, the irritability perhaps of the Mercury squaring Mars. I did hear from a couple of you yesterday who were experiencing things like that. And it's always fun, right? This is why originally, if I go back in time, the reason I named the business Living Astrology is because there was such a connection between what was going on above and what was happening down here on the earth in our actual daily living. It was very plain to me that we were really living the astrology or the stars and the transits that they're making across the sky. So in that case, then living means that how is it that we can manage and move through the energies on any given day? And that is what I hope to accomplish each morning when I get here with you, to be able to help you to move through the day in with as little irritation as possible and to be able to be in the right place at the right time with the right people, with the right opportunities. And that is my hope, of course, in doing this. So we start the day today with the moon in Aquarius, where it has been for the last couple of days. It really literally is only here for a chunk of the day because it is getting ready to move into Pisces. And that means that we will also experience a void of course moon. So for some of you who might be new and haven't really heard me talk about the void of course moon, the void of course moon occurs usually just before or in between the moon changing signs. And it's really characterized by a point in time when the moon is not making any new connections with any planets other than what it's already made. So for example, I'm going to tell you today about the moon in a sextile to Uranus, but also in a square to Venus. Well, the first one, the sextile to Uranus is in process right now. Then the moon is going to change void of course, meaning it's not going to make any other new contacts until after it moves into Pisces at 11:43 this morning, my time, 2:43 p.m. East Coast time, at which time it will then begin to square the planet Venus. So there's this couple of hour window from 8:53 until 11:43 and 11:53 on the East Coast to 2:43, where the energy winds down and it makes that couple of hours worth of time not a great time to initiate something. It's a great time maybe to clean off your desk or to finish something that you've been in process with, but those couple of hours would not be a great time to have a meeting if you're at work, right? And you have a meeting scheduled and it's a planning session. You can almost guarantee that almost everything that's said during that meeting is not going to take you anywhere. So knowing that ahead of time can be helpful if you know it enough ahead of time that you don't schedule the meeting, first of all, during the void of course moon. But if you are, someone who isn't the one that schedules the meetings and you have to be at one, just know that there's likely going to have to be a follow-up to this meeting in order to get anything really enacted. So that's the nature of those couple of hours. It's much better for meditation, for study, for quiet contemplation, for finishing something that's already been in process than it is for anything to be begun during that time. Londa, your meeting at 8:30 is beginning before the moon turns void, of course. So if I were you, what I would do is I would stack the meeting from 8:30 to 8:53 our time with whatever it is that you want to get done, the business meat and potatoes, because then the moon moves void, of course, and for the next couple of hours, not much can be accomplished. right? Maybe a lot of chattering, maybe a lot of conversation, but no real decision-making, nor would you want decisions to be made during the void of course moon. So if you can change the meeting time to after 11:43 this afternoon or this morning for us on the West Coast, or if you know that, you know, stack it in the first 20 minutes of that meeting that you have this morning. But on the other hand, Londa, now that I think about it, depending on the meeting that you're doing today, but typically it might be a spiritual meeting, a spiritual type of meeting that you're doing. So maybe the business part is done soon, and then you guys can have some time to, you know, meditate together or maybe do some, you know, visioning, that kind of thing together. So good morning, Natasha. I have been thinking about you. So how funny you show up here this morning. Loving heads up on intentions of the planets to help us walk. Thank you, Janet, for your intentions. Thank you, Natasha, for being here. Thank you, Londa. Cindy, good morning to you. I haven't seen you in a couple of days. And Mimi, there you are. Monique, good morning to you as well. And let's see what other people. The gal is Cairo. Okay. So it's basically a spiritual meeting. So just know if there's any big business that needs to be done in this meeting, likely it is not going to be favored for that unless you just do it in that very beginning part. Good morning, Jacqueline. It's good to see you too. Happy 2019 to those of you who are here with me for the first time in this year. Now, before I jump into what does it mean to have the moon doing these other things, let me tell you something, because I know I'll forget in the, you know, excitement of the day. On January 22nd, which is a Tuesday, I am going to be doing another webinar. I think I'm going to do these monthly because they're kind of fun. And this one is going to be about the Human Design New Year. And the Human Design New Year always begins around January 22nd. It begins when the sun moves into the gate 41, which is the gate of imagination and dreams. And in that, we can see through the outer planets and the inner planets and their locations, what the themes are going to be through our human design and how it is that our conditioning is going to show up in the world for us personally, but also on the mass consciousness. So from 4 p.m. Pacific time to about 6 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be doing a webinar, $25, very affordable, and on the themes coming up through your human design. You will want to have your human design chart with you that day. And I will give you all the other information as I get it set up. So that'll be January 22nd, a Tuesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. East Coast time. Londa says, I want to do that one. Let's talk about it. Love you. Love you too. Good luck with your meeting today, because I know you're probably going to have to take off at some point. And Natasha was out of town and now she's back. And what is wrong with a void of course moon? That is a really great question, Jacqueline, because it, you know, maybe from the words that I just said, you might have thought perhaps that there's something wrong with the moon or something wrong with the void of course. But indeed, there's nothing wrong, just as there's nothing wrong with our in-breath and our out-breath, right? Or the pause between the in-breath and the out-breath. The moon is moving through her typical in-breaths and out-breaths, and she comes to that pause in between where she is ready to change from one sign to another, where in that moment, she's gone within. Right? She's gone within. She's gone quiet. She's not making any connections to any other planets for the foreseeable future. And in this particular day, it is only a 2 hour, perhaps a little less than 2 hour void of course. You're going to see later in the week that we have a much longer void of course. I think it's like 13 hours long. So there are times when the moon does what we all do, which we come inward. Right? We come to that quiet place. And when the moon is in that quiet place, it is not a good time to start anything. Remember, the moon is also involved in timing of cycles in our lives, timing of everything basically in our lives. Farmers use the moon to determine when to plant. And even, you know, old fashioned wisdom said not to get your hair cut at a full moon, to get your hair cut at a new moon so that it would grow better. So, I mean, we have all of these kind of, ancient connections to the moon and her cyclical nature. So when she goes into the void, she's coming into the quiet. And during that time, it isn't favored for us to do anything new or big or splashy or try to push things into happening. It is much more favored that we also, mirroring the moon, go quiet. I hope that makes sense to everybody. So it's not that it's wrong. It's just how it is that we work with that energy during that time. Good morning, Brittany. Nicole, it's good to see you out there this morning as well. So let's talk about what the moon is doing today as she is finishing up and winding down her transit through Aquarius. She will be in a sextile, which is a positive relationship to the planet Uranus. So it's kind of funny, you know, here we are in this particular time where there are ideas. And just before I went on air, like 17 seconds before I was due to go on air, all of these ideas started flooding in. Right. And I'm quickly scribbling these things down so that I don't forget them. Such is the nature of the moon when she becomes sextile to Uranus. Ideas, right? Things coming up, inventive things, things you've never tried before, ahas, epiphanies, although Uranus does do revolutions, revelations, that's the word I meant to say, things that come to you. Right. So this morning may be a time of these great ideas, of things that get stirred up from deep within that you want to take action on. And then the moon goes void, of course. Yay. Like a cosmic joke. Everything stills. And we are spending the next couple of hours then in more quietness and in maybe the whole purpose would be to finish things that are already in action so that you can actually take action on some of these new things once the moon turns into Pisces. And again, the timing on that is the void of course moon, the moon into Pisces will happen at 2:43 p.m. if you're on the East Coast, 11:43 a.m. if you're on the West Coast of the United States, that is. The moon, when she moves into Pisces, will then begin presenting herself in a challenging aspect to the planet Venus. And the planet Venus, as you know, represents our relationships, our love interests, our romantic interests, if you will, also our money, our financials, and also the values that we hold, both individually, as a nation, as a community, as a culture. So we have several different things perhaps challenging us later in the day that will cause us to want to stay in alignment with what it is we value. So, I mean, really, guys, my world has been so weird over the last few days. And I don't even want to know what the heck is going on here. Natasha, I was hoping you were on air with us yesterday to see the orb that sort of flew through my bedroom that even I saw. And then later, Michelle pointed out to me what the minute minder was on the video. And when I saw it, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. This morning, there were all kinds of noises going on in my house. Now my computer and paper over here is making strange noises. What are the guides trying to tell me? And I'm not hearing. So anyway, it's been an interesting couple of days that way for me. I also want to make sure I didn't bring anything back from some of the odd dreams I was having while I was sick. And so maybe Londa and some of you out there that are quite sensitive to that can let me know if you sense anything around me that I brought back that I shouldn't have. I don't sense anything malevolent or malice seeking, just something trying to get my attention. And that's very odd. So let's finish up our square. Are your lights flickering? Are my lights flickering? I don't know. Anyway. Let's finish up with the square to Venus. So the moon, of course, takes us to our soul, takes us to our emotions, and we may have some emotional challenges that pop up between us and other people today, especially the people that are closest to us. So our love interests in particular, but it could be your children. It could be your friends. It could be people that you work with. It could be them because it's maybe not even your problem. It's that other people are experiencing something that's challenging to them within the confines of a relationship. And as you know, we all project things onto other people. And you happen to be the lightning rod, no pun intended, to see that there is something that you need to work on still. So we have that as a challenge later in the day. There's also something really interesting right now, this morning, that is moving through us. And maybe that's where I'm sensing these, you know, weird energies. There's a yod happening. Remember, a yod is a configuration. Let me see if I can draw it in here. I'm going to attempt to do this. A yod is a configuration made up of two 150 degree angles in the planets, and the base planets are in a sextile with one another. So there you go. It looks like an isosceles triangle. It is called the finger of God because the planet that the point is at is acting as the release nozzle for all of the energy that is occurring between the two base planets. And the base planets here, one is the moon and the other is the galactic center. Whoa, right? The galactic center, the source of cosmic waves, gamma waves, high energy X-rays, microwaves, all kinds of high energy particles, probably some we haven't even named yet, come through to us, come streaming to us through that galactic center. And here it's involved in the base of this yod, pointing us toward our destiny. So it could be that some of these lights flickering and orbs flying through and weird sounds going on are the guides and our angels, whatever you want to call them, trying to get our attention about this energy that is streaming through. Now, a yod is not an easy, kind-hearted sort of transit or configuration. It's more like in your face. And it's more like, what are you going to do? You have to adjust, you have to sacrifice, you have to adjust again between the moon in this case and the galactic center in order to be able to go toward destiny in this particular setup. So that yod is in play this morning. It won't last long, right? Because the moon is involved and she moves fairly quickly. Although one leg of the yod, one leg and in conjunct, will stay in effect today as well. It just won't be a much more, it won't be as stable of an influence as it is right now this morning, but it will be there with us for the next several days as we're adjusting to the new energy for 2019. We're adjusting to having come from a time period of relatively difficult energy taking in order to take action. We were stumbling over things and having trouble, and to now where it seems like all energies are telling us go, but we are still sort of stuck in this I don't know where to go kind of thing. So it may be that this is about helping us to see through tapping into the stream of consciousness coming into the planet what direction we are designed to take next. You know, I was listening last night was Tuesday, and Tuesday late afternoons, 4:30 my time, 7:30 East Coast time, is Marianne Williamson's live stream talk. And she was talking about some of this kind of stuff yesterday as well, where we are tapping into this energy that we need in order to save the planet, save humanity, and the action that each one of us must take. And her talking about asking God, source, I don't care what you want to call it, to show you what to do, where to be, and to whom it is that you are meant to be taking the action with any given day, so that you are always aligned with the source of that energy stream. So I thought that was kind of interesting to see that in the chart this morning, the chart of the day. Now, I also want to teach you today about something new, a different, it is an aspect, a relationship between planets called a sesquiquadrate. Say that 10 times fast, sesquiquadrate. And I should write it in here. Let me type it on the screen so you guys can see what it is, how to spell it. Let me make sure I can spell it. Sesquiquadrate. There you go. A sesquiquadrate is literally an angle or relationship between planets that is 135 degrees. It looks like my video's lagging. I apologize. Gremlins in the system yet again. Let's see if I can turn off everything. Maybe that will help my computer. Yeah, I seem to be lagging a bit. And I apologize for that. I'm not sure what's going on here. Anyway, good morning, Diana. And good morning, Colleen. And good morning, Patricia. So good to see you ladies joining us. So the sesquiquadrate is a 135 degree angle between planets. It is called a minor aspect. And this is probably why you've never heard of it. It's probably why I don't use it very often, because it is minor. But it is adding to sort of the scritchiness in the air, the feeling of irritability, the touchiness that we are experiencing. And it is a sort of smoldering fire within each of us that hasn't quite yet ignited, that hasn't yet found its expression. And in that, it's sort of like in a chart, the sesquiquadrate acts a bit like a square, only without the real energy or push to do anything about it. So it's that, you know, how we sometimes feel that vague sense of discomfort, or that vague sense of, you know, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something I should be doing, or, you know, I can't quite get a hold of where it is I'm meant to go. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? That sort of vague sense. That is a sesquiquadrate, right? That it's not directly challenging you to take action, but it is in the background sort of creating that smoldering effect, right? That it is start trying to light that fire. And today we have that sesquiquadrate happening between the planet Jupiter and the planet Uranus. Jupiter wanting expansion and growth, and Uranus also wanting change and rebelling against the status quo, wanting to do something different. Yet it's this smoldering energy. It's not quite clear what that means for us, but we might be very tempted to do something out of the ordinary just to relieve that pressure. So I'm going to caution you all today. Taking action isn't the problem, but taking any old action just to feel better, to relieve the pressure, is the problem, right? And remember yesterday I talked about Pluto moving into the gate 61, and we're going to talk deeper about that here in a few minutes, but it adds to that, right? There's this pressure. The planet Pluto is now sitting up here in our head center, and the head center is a center for pressure. We're being pressured to answer questions like, what do I do next? Why is this happening? Where do I go? Who am I going to do it with? Can you prove to me this is the thing that I'm meant to do? How am I going to do that? All of those who, what, why, where, when, and how, right? Which? All those questions that serve us well when we're trying to write an article for the newspaper doesn't help us in our day-to-day lives when we're feeling pressured to answer said questions, right? Because it isn't necessarily your job to answer those questions. You're just feeling the pressure. And that pressure is often coming to you a la conditioning. Conditioning means the pressure that is coming at you is not the pressure that's internal and meant for you directly. It is from the culture. It is from the environment. It is from your being raised by a family who had ideas about how things should work, right? So especially if you have an open head, the pressure for you can become excruciating. And then you have an aspect like this that comes along, and you might find yourself trying to do anything it is that you can do to relieve the stress or the pressure. So just be watchful of that today, especially during those 2 hours of the void of course moon, not a time to take, you know, action in new directions, right? After that, even, I want you to just be considerate of, okay, am I just trying to relieve pressure here? Or is this truly the next revelation about my next steps? To do that, you really have to default to your type, strategy, and authority. Remember, every type has a strategy through which it makes the best decisions for that type. And that means if you're a generator or manifesting generator, you're waiting to respond to something that shows up in your outer world. If you are a manifester, you have these great ideas that come up. The only limitation to enacting those ideas is for you to inform people who would be affected by your decisions or by your changes of heart or your change in direction. Projectors, you are waiting for the invitation. and reflectors, you are waiting a full cycle of the moon before you're taking any kind of new actions, big actions. And then your authority further takes you into that decision-making, whether it's emotional, splenic, meaning it's intuitive, or sacral, meaning it's a body reaction in the moment. And so we've talked about these things before. You could also go onto my website. And if you've not gotten your human design chart, you can get that for free with an explanation about your type, your strategy. And I think there are links in what I send you to articles on your authority as well. So trying to take action in accordance with what's correct for you, not necessarily what's correct for everybody else. And if you're indeed feeling the pressure to take action, that's when you want to be suspect, right? That's when you want to be suspect. So something else new occurred to me, actually came to me yesterday, and I was sitting here with it, just getting excited about thinking about this. And I want to take it deeper, but today I'm just going to give you this idea. You know how when we talk about the gene keys and we talk about the gates in human design, I'm always telling you that they're holographic, right? That there's depth in there. There's more than just what we seem to see on the surface. So for example, the human design gate 61, where Pluto is sitting, is called the gate of the mystery in human design. But when we look at it through the gene keys, what do we see? We see a holographic picture. We see that there's the shadow, that there's the elevated expression of the gift, and that there's the highest expression in the city. And that is psychosis. And it moves from, what is it? Psychosis to consciousness, I believe. Psychosis to inspiration to sanctity. Wonderful word. And I discovered that we can also look at each of the signs of the zodiac in that same way. And because this is just now occurring to me, it's possible that it's just now becoming available to us to really look at this in a more holistic way. So I took the energy of Capricorn, because Capricorn is where Pluto is sitting. Capricorn is where Saturn is sitting. Capricorn energy is where I got the themes for the year from the astrological standpoint of stewardship and conservatism. Remember when we did the astrology for 2019, I threw out those new words for you. So I also came across this idea of Capricorn in holographic in a hologram way of looking. So for example, every one of you has Capricorn somewhere in your chart, right? You may not be a Capricorn, you may not even have the moon in Capricorn, but somewhere in your astrology chart is the sign of Capricorn. And its lowest expression is authoritarian. Being authoritarian or involving yourself in authoritarianism. And isn't it interesting, in the outer world right now, we see a lot of that wanting to return to that authoritarianism. Not that we the people want to return to that, but we see a lot of leaders around the world acting in these authoritarian ways. They're acting out of the shadow of Capricorn, where both Saturn and Pluto are. Saturn and Pluto are both mass consciousness types of planets. So it's not only affecting us individually, but it's affecting us on the bigger, wider screen of the world. In the gift, Capricorn energy is about humility, understanding your place, understanding your gifts and your talents and how you're sharing them, but also valuing what's coming to you from the other. Right? From the other, seeing both points of view and valuing both from a place of humility. In the highest expression, Capricorn energy is wisdom. This is where we see Saturn in his authority, right? This is because Saturn is the planet that rules Capricorn. This is where we see Saturn in its authority, not authoritarian self, but its authority, right? There's a difference. There's a fine line there. Okay, let's see. LOL, with all this energy, it makes for a good day to follow through with a bit of thrifty shopping and lunch. All pre-planned, easy, and getting out of the house. There you go. Good morning, Alex. Good morning, Carmel. So I hope everybody's understanding what I mean here. We are moving to a time where we are looking at things more holistically and more holographically, including our astrology signs, right? Which we've always thought about, you know, we get this list. I think I've even written articles where I just list what are Capricorn traits? What are the traits of the planets in certain signs, et cetera, right? But now we're going to be looking at these things from this deeper place. And then we are also looking at from this deeper place, where are we in that rung, in that ladder? And how do we move then from a Capricorn shadow of authoritarianism to the Capricorn gift of humility? How do we do that? How do we make that move? And you in your world, you may be saying, well, I'm not an authoritarian. But it's in our outer world, right? It's in our outer world. Our leaders are showing us this all the time. You know, leaders that want to take unilateral action to make get their way in the world, that's authoritarianism. That's being authoritarian. So wherever it is in your own chart, you may struggle with that energy. So let me just see where's Capricorn in this chart. Capricorn in this chart for today is sitting in looks like the 10th house or 11th house, which is the house of groups and friends and so forth. Groups of people that you associate with, your friends and the people that you hang out with, your like-minded people. And what if, in looking at your own chart, if this is where it was in your chart, you see that you are taking on the reins of being the authoritarian in the groups of people that you hang out with? And I'm not saying that you guys are. I'm just saying this is an example of how we can use this, where maybe I could look in and I could see that, yeah, I have this tendency to want to take over the group. And when the group doesn't want to do what I want to do, then I, you know, throw my weight around. I insist that I get my way. I become manipulative or authoritarian. So wherever this is in your own chart, it means that you could take a deeper look. I'm going to do it. As soon as I've looked at that in my son in human design, I went, oh, interesting, right? It's interesting. We don't always want to play with that shadow. I did not want to look at that shadow and really make it something that was true for me, but there's something there, right? We're becoming more response able, and being response able means being willing to look in the shadow to be able to elevate it up to the gift level. And then to be able to ultimately move it from gift to the highest expression. Any questions about that? Good evening, Anne. No, you're not too late. Although I've been talking now for about 30 minutes, but you can always get the recording and be able to catch up what you missed earlier in the broadcast. It's good to see you though. Happy New Year. So any questions about how to look at your chart holographically? What does it mean? I know everybody's thinking, oh yeah, well, I'm a Taurus. Oh yeah, I'm a Leo. Oh yeah, I'm a whatever. What does that mean? Well, I will be writing more about that. maybe even today. I don't have any clients today. Maybe I can get to that. I don't know. I have other things I need to write. We shall see. But it's something that I want to start considering and looking at in a deeper way. So we're bringing human design and the gene keys and astrology closer together into one coherent and cohesive study of who you are. All right. I don't see any questions popping up here, but I'm also lagging, as I can tell in the video. So I'll hold on and answer questions as time goes on here. Now I want to talk about a little more about the shadow of gate 61. So for those of you who are just joining us today, we were talking about the long-term transit of Pluto at the gate 61 in your human design, which is called the mystery. It's in human design, it's the gate of mystery. And in your gene keys, it is the shadow of psychosis. It is the gift of inspiration, and it is the highest expression. In its highest expression, it is sanctity. We're going to take a look at those words eventually too, but today I want to take a look at psychosis. I don't want to believe that I'm in a state of psychosis, right? But all of us as human beings are, according to the gene keys, Richard Rudd, in his description of this. By the way, for those of you who are new, the Gene Keys, this is an older copy of the book. I got it several years back. Gene Keys, Unlocking the Higher Purpose Hidden in Your DNA by Richard Rudd. The book now has a different blue cover and a round circle in it that, so it looks a little bit different, but that's the book that I'm talking about right now, and or the material from that book. And The Shadow of Psychosis. And I'm going to give you this quote: "The ordinary state of the mass consciousness of humanity in the world today." So psychosis is the ordinary state of the mass consciousness of humanity on the planet today or in the world today. That's a pretty powerful statement, don't you think? And the reason he says that this is the case is that the nature of the mind, the correct nature of the mind, is obscured from us as humans. The nature of the mind is literally infinite space. That's the true nature of the mind. But our minds are clogged up with all of these thoughts and madness thinking and, you know, answering or pressure to answer questions. And in this gate, the pressure to answer the question, why? And we talked about that yesterday. So the pressure to find answers to questions that are rising up from deep within our consciousness causes us to struggle. We're struggling to find those answers, and we're trying to answer those questions from the same state of psychosis that the mass humanity consciousness is in. And it is both hemispheres of the brain here that are in this struggle, that are locked in the struggle. The left hemisphere is locked in a struggle, and it tries to relieve that pressure through science, through facts and figures and proofs and theories and hypotheses and the scientific method, et cetera, right? The right side of the brain struggling as well to answer these deeper questions coming up from in the deep unconscious struggles, but uses the energy of religion and beliefs and thought, mystical thoughts, etc., to try to solve the dilemma, the struggle. And until humanity takes that evolutionary leap in the 55th gene key, which we've talked about superficially over the last, you know, couple of months at times, which maybe it's almost time for us to get into a deeper discussion around that 55th gene key and what does that mean. We will continue to seek the answers to the question why. And now Pluto, the planet of transformation, is sitting there for 9 months. Remember yesterday, I thought it was interesting, 9 months all the way from now until September, September 11th of 2019, which 9 months, also the same as the gestation period for the human beings, and that it was easily broken up into three trimesters, three stages of development, finding the solution to the pressure here in this particular gene key or this particular gate. To me, this is a fascinating study. So until we take that evolutionary leap, we're going to continue to seek the answers through to the question why. We're going to continually feel that pressure. But I think now we are on this process of transforming that. So the dilemma that we find ourselves in this shadow, is that we cannot fix the psychosis from within the psychosis. It's the same thing that Marianne Williamson was speaking about last night. It's the same thing that Albert Einstein was talking about, that we cannot solve a problem from the same level at which it was created, from which it was created, right? We have to rise above. We have to do some inner work. We have to change in order to be able to accommodate that solution. And another part of that dilemma is that we have this perceptional cloak, if you will, that's been thrown over humanity. You might have heard it called the veil of forgetting, excuse me, that we fall through as we incarnate here on the planet. There's a Sanskrit word for this perceptional cloak. It's called the maya, not maya or maya like the culture of people, but maya, the maya, which is the great illusion. And the great illusion that we are here, we are stuck, we have these problems, et cetera, et cetera. So we have become victims, humanity has become victim to the pressure of the shadow. And we've put ourselves in a position where we will do anything and believe anything or anyone who promises to deliver us from that pressure. That's a quote from Richard Rudd in The Gene Keys. We will do anything and believe anything or anyone who promises to deliver us from the pressure. Look at where you've done this in your own life, right? Look at where you have not empowered yourself to move out of this psychosis. Interesting stuff that we're moving into here, right? So tomorrow I won't be on air. I forgot tomorrow. I will not be on air tomorrow. I will be back on air on Friday, although I will start broadcasting to you from my daughter's house on Friday. That ought to be interesting. So the background will be different. Everything will be different. But tomorrow I won't be here, but on Friday we will take up how religion and science play into this shadow for us. And then we're going to move from there into the gift, and the gift being that of inspiration, and how do we use that energy to pull us up out of that shadow energy of psychosis. All right, any questions? Good morning, April. I miss these live videos. Yes, we've missed you too. I haven't seen you out there. Ashley, good morning. Just started listening yesterday and I'm hooked. Purchased the planner too. Yay. I hope you there's the planner. What is the planner called? Magic Makers Planner and Playbook. And then there is the Energy Almanac. And the Energy Almanac, well, I wrote astrology for both. Moon's in the planner and in the almanac, the monthly astrology. And yeah, thank you for that purchase. It's something that's so cool. And I can't wait for my own copy to get here so I can, you know, show it to you all. And I hope each one of you went out and grabbed it. If not, I will put the link up here for you today. That's a good idea so that you can order yours now that they are being delivered. Then, you know, before it was pre-ordered. So if you did pre-order it, you should have gotten it or are in the process of getting it. And if you order it now, it will be delivered to you as it's already in the works. So no questions, huh? How about this? Let's pull a card to close the day. And I'm going to pull a card from the animal deck, the Spirit Animal Oracle. And Debbie reminded me yesterday that she had sent me a video of Colette Baron Reed, who happens to be hers and my favorite Oracle card writer, Colette Baron Reed. She's getting ready to release another new deck on the goddesses. And she was doing a video training on how to read Oracle cards. And she was using that deck. It was beautiful. So you see, you know, these beautiful colors. Whoops, that's peacock upside down. You see these beautiful colors in the illustration, the light coming from the heart of this peacock. The goddess cards are that beautiful as well. So let's draw a card that can take us through the day, that can help us understand the energies of today. And in the meantime, no questions out there. I don't know if that's good or bad. Either I explained everything really well, or you guys got to sit and think about this before you come up with questions. And I've pulled upside down a new card. I haven't seen this one before. Nightingale Spirit. Love is all around. So here's Nightingale upright. Her keynote is love is all around, but I pulled it this way, upside down. So that is in protection. And what card number 41? Where's our Suzanne? That's the number 5, which is about change. 41. Nightingale Spirit, love is all around. And the protection message says, the darker the skies, the more it seems the dawn will never appear. But Nightingale Spirit is here to remind you that the sun will shine again. We have to remind ourselves of this in the Pacific Northwest every year, because we go for weeks sometimes without seeing the sun. So you will soon feel the love and notice the abundance that surrounds you. Sing now, put on some music, or simply sing in the empty space, for finding the light within and giving it voice will give rise to hope and help you begin to hear the call of another who, like you, was beginning to fear the light would never come. Bring the light into darkness with love from within. Give it voice and know that daybreak will be here soon. Love it. Love it. Love it. So beautiful card, Nightingale. Look at the back of these cards is even beautiful. The mandala and the colors, just beautiful cards. There we go. Nightingale in protection, reminding us to let our light shine, that the light will always return. All right. So that is it for me today. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Remember, it could be a little bit touch and go this morning. The moon's void, of course, for a couple of hours starting here in about 8 minutes my time, and will be void for 2 hours. After that, all systems go again. During that time, try not to start anything new. Keep working on the things that you have. Get them done. Don't forget to look for the information of the upcoming webinar on the Human Design New Year and what that means for all of us. In the meantime, I love you all. See you on Friday morning. Bye for now.